is remarkable. He comes up towards the winning line under Davy Russell to win his second Randox Health Grand National.
Desert Orchid, watch history being made. Roars of applause. The king's in his county.
Heading down towards the last ride in the champion hurdle, and it's Annie Power comes towards it now. She's about four lengths clear. Vizio, she jumped it perfectly.
Yes, hello and welcome. It is an action-packed weekend, possibly one of the best weekends racing, of flat racing of the year. Great action in store, really looking forward to it. And a panel to die for. We're really, really spoiling you. Very welcome along to Mr. Ruby Walsh and Mr. Frank Hickey. Gents, how are we?
Good morning, Thomas.
Yeah, how you Tom? How's for?
I'm flying it. I'm up to 90. My computers refuse to work. We've got a very busy show and just nothing's going right. You know, it's just one of those mornings, but I'm sure you're going to help me through it. We've got lots to get through, lads. And we're going to kick it off. We're going to go through in chronological order of times they'll appear on the television for Saturday, as opposed to meeting by meeting. We're going to start at 1:50, Doncaster. It is the Champagne Stakes. Ruby, we'll start with you. Did you have a look at this one? What did you like?
I did, Jan. I think it's pretty obvious, and it's not for the sake of tipping a favour, but Chint has been very impressive in his two starts. He was very good here at Doncaster back in July and again in August, later in that month, 20-odd days later. And I think Chint will be the one to beat, Tom.
Frank, would you agree? I know you've tipped up Chint in the past.
Yeah, I actually priced this race Antipost on Monday, and Al Bashir and Mubaj were quite strong in the market during the week, and I thought it was the way the Chint wasn't going to run, so we pushed him out a little bit, but I think he'll be clear favourite come this evening. He's fairly well bred. He's actually by Wotan Bassett, who Coombe bought recently, like the best horse he sired as Al Manzor, like on his debut at Doncaster. I thought he was very impressive. He was backed into favourite up there in the front the whole way. It was a very smooth winner, followed up in a listed race the last day, ridden differently there. He was kind of a little bit slow away, was held up out the back, showed a great turn of foot to pick them up and win going away. The time was about 2 seconds slower than 95 rated Blue Mist, who won the international over the same course and distance, but Blue Mist was carrying £6 less and the section was only a little bit slower. So it was quite a decent performance for a two-year-old. The form is working out really well. The second Cove won a Salisbury listed race. Third Naval Crown won by a wide margin at York and was then third in a Group 3 in Longchamp. And the fourth, who reopposes St. Lawrence, won a Newbury listed race's next start. It's really good form, and I think he might actually be a Guineas horse. If you press me to have an Antipost bet for the Guineas the moment, the 2000 Guineas, I'd probably chance Chindit at the moment. Yeah, I think he's a really good horse.
Chindit for Frank Hickey to get a bumper weekend off to a flyer. We're going to stick with Doncaster, lads. 3 o'clock Saturday. It is the Park Stakes. Lamato tops the betting with Paddy Power 5-2. One Master next in 3-1. 7-2. Wichita. Mo Latham is 5s. 8-1 and bigger the rest. Frank, what do you like here?
Yeah, I think it's a very tricky race. Lamato looked as good as ever at Newmarket in June, winning very easily from Happy Power. Then One Master was, she got a hole in Goodwood. She was lucky to win because she was boxed in, but her class pulled her through and she was well put in her place by Safe Voyage in a slightly tactical race at York the last day. She's very solid as well. But I'm going to just take a chance on Wichita here. He's been a little bit disappointing in his last two runs. He had an excuse at Goodwood though. He had an irregular heartbeat, lost his shoe and finished a bit lame as well. And then he was dropped back and tripped to 6.5 furlongs in the Primaris de Geese from 7th behind Space Blues. If you go back to his early season form, he's obviously second in Guineas, beaten neck by Kamiko, and was third behind Palace Pier and Pinatubo, beaten just over a length in St. James Palace Stakes. Obviously, those two horses have really strong Group 1 form this year. And if you get back to that sort of form, I think you take a fair bit of beating.
Ruby, a compelling case made by Frank Hickey. Can you top it?
No, I can't top it, but I completely agree with it. And you factor in the fact that Wichita has only a three-year-old. He gets the three-year-old allowance. He's an official rating of 118. He's well in on the weights before you factor in the £4 allowance he gets for age. Lamato is an eight-year-old, one Masters a six-year-old. The three-year-olds are surely improving at this time of the year. And I'd be with Frank, which he'd have if he comes back to his James's Palace or Guinea's runs. Takes all the beating here.
Well, we'll we skip across the Irish Sea from Doncaster to Leopardstown, and the first race we're going to look at Irish Champions Weekend is at 3:10, and it is the Matron Stakes, and it looks an absolute humdinger. Fancy Blue, 2-1, joint favourite with Peaceful. Ryan Moore has opted to ride Fancy Blue for Donegal Brian Albigna. Our Albania next in 5-1, 8-1, know it all for Johnny Merton, and also another Johnny Merton runner, Champers Elise at 9, 16-1, and bigger the rest. Ruby Walsh, this is an excellent, excellent race.
It is a cracking contest, Tom, and I've been with Fancy Blue in France in the Prix de Diane. I was with her in the NASA at Goodwood. I'm not going to desert her today. All right, she drops back a couple of furlongs in trip from 10 furlongs to a mile. But look, the Prix de Diane was a tactically run race, and Fancy Blue had the gears to hold off Peaceful on that occasion. Albina hasn't quite lived up to her reputation that she had as a two-year-old. Maybe she will, but from 2 to 3, we saw with Pinatubo, there is a difference. And I think Fancy Blue could give Donegal O'Brien his first Group 1 on Irish side.
Frank, would you have the top two in the market pegged as milers, or does the kind of step back and trip make them vulnerable?
Yeah, a tiny bit potentially. But obviously, Pieces won the Irish Games, the Curra, by 2 lengths from Fancy Blue, and Fancy Blue was an eye catcher that day. I'd just take a small chance on Johnny Murta's know it all each way. Look, she might not be good enough, but she is improving this season. Thought she was a little bit unlucky in the Phillies Trial Stakes, the Group 3 at Leopardstown reappearance. She was beaten a length and a half by Love Lockett. Didn't get the clearest of runs that day. I think she would have gone very close with a clear run, and she bolted up in the Derrinstown Stud Philly Stakes Group 3 in July, then winning very easy from Celestial Object. Now, she was third, beating only 3/4 for length by Watch Me in a Group 1, the Pre-Rothschild in France. Watch Me had won Carnation Stakes last year, beating Hermosa, and was third in the Pre-Lopper. So she's a very good filly. And just the prices, with Kieran Fallon riding, I thought it was interesting. I just have a small each way betting her. She might not be good enough to beat the two Coolmore fillies, but yeah, I'd take a chance her.
Back across the water to Doncaster, 3:35, the final British classic of the season. It is the Ledger, of course. Pile Driver tops the betting alongside Santiago, the two of them at 5-2 with Paddy Power. Hookham next in 7-2, 11-2. Galileo Chrome, a big mover midweek, 14-1, and bigger the rest. Frank, we'll start with you. Was it a kind of a sustained few quid for Galileo Chrome?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Galileo Chrome. Like, if you look at his form this year, he was well backed on his reappearance in the Curra on Guinea's Weekend over 10 furlongs. Did well to get up in the circumstances, won on the line. That race worked out really well. He had Subjectivist behind and Serpentine, who obviously went on to win the Derby. And Dawn Rising was fourth that day. He was second in the Group 3 Bahrain Trophy after winning a maiden at Limerick. Galileo Chrome was due to run the Irish Derby, got a stone bruise and had to miss it. He's taken a more quiet approach since then, won a race at Leopardstown very easy, beating the 93-rated Master Foxhounds, getting £3. We absolutely hammered him. And then the last day in the Yates Stakes at Navan, listed race over a mile 5, he absolutely bolted up again, was really strong at the finish that day. Really impressed me how he stayed. And he absolutely dismissed Emperor of the Sun, who's a pretty solid yardstick. He's rated 105, and he batted him away. Like, on figures, he's a little bit defined, but I think he's improving just at the right time. And I think there's a stamina doubt about Hookham and Pile Driver. They both won their races the last day with a turn of foot. They weren't strongly run races. I know Hookham's won over a mile 5, but it wasn't a strongly run race. And as I said, he won with a turn of foot. And I just think Galileo Chrome's a proper horse, and I think he might do the two of them. Santiago's the one. I think the tactics would be interesting because Santiago's obviously proven stamina, winning over a mile 6 at Ascot, and I imagine the Coolmore team will want to make this a test and make sure that Pile Driver and Hookham can stay properly. So I just think it's going to play to Galileo Chrome's strengths, and I'm really excited for the race.
Ruby, the Ledger can often be treated with a little bit of apathy by the racing world. It's kind of the tail end, or not necessarily the tail end, but it gets lost maybe in the very busy high-end, high-class autumn calendar. But this year's race is an excellent renewal, I think. What do you reckon?
Yeah, I think it's a race, Tom. It's always a very good race. But the problem is, with the stigma attached around the horse that wins over a mile and six furlongs, for stallion potential going forward, the way breeders are going, and this want for speed and fashionable horses being by stallions that could win over a mile and 10 furlongs, that's probably the biggest drawback for the St. Ledger in the terms of racing. But as an actual race, year in, year out, it's a cracking contest. And I don't think it's any different this year. As Frank has made the case, as Galileo Chrome, I'll be shouting for him, for Shane Cross and Joseph O'Brien. But I can't help but feel that if a big powerhouse trained pile driver, he'd be a lot shorter than he is. I mean, he's great, but the Great Voltigeur, his time again, a supposed St. Ledger trial, this horse romped away with it. He was very good in Royal Ascot. He got caught, like most horses in the Derby, in the wrong place. Other than that, he's had an incredible year. And I'm in the pile driver camp. I just think that if he was trained by John Gosden, Charlie Appleby, Aidan O'Brien, Joseph O'Brien, he's a good bit shorter in price than he is.
Onwards, 3:40, back to Leopardstown. It is the KPMG Champions Juvenile Stakes. Frank, Cadillac tops the betting at 15-8, 9-2, Fernando Vichy, 6-1, Snap Tedera, and 7-1, Van Gogh, 8-1, a big of the rest. Is it an open race, or is it just kind of the market hasn't really solidified for Cadillac yet?
Yeah, I thought it was very tricky. Look, Cadillac looked an absolute machine on debut, winning in a good time by 9 lengths from a subsequent winner. And, you know, it's hard to be disappointed when you're second beaten half length in a Group 2, which is your second start. But I think people thought he might be an absolute superstar after the way he won his debut. And it just was a tiny bit disappointing that he couldn't get it done the last day. Look, he deserves to be favoured, but there's 6 last minute winners up here against him. They're all unexposed. And just, yeah, it's a race I wouldn't be too keen involved in, to be honest with you.
Ruby?
Yeah, I probably a little bit more forgiving, and I think to go from a maiden into a Group 2 and just get touched off is a progression. And I think Cadillac, back at the track he's won at, I think he'd be a good bit shorter than he is now, Tom, and he definitely sets the standard. I think it's interesting that Aidan O'Brien has chosen to run a maiden in Van Gogh. That either says that they're expecting more from Van Gogh, or means I don't think a whole lot of the winners they have, but yeah, Ryan Moore rides that. But Cadillac, I think he stepped forward from day one to day two, and I think he'd progress again.
You're listening to From the Horse's Mouth by Paddy Power. Paddy Power are streaming all UK and Irish racing on our app. No bet required. Just log in and watch. Terms and conditions apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Onwards to the main event of the day. It is the Irish Champions Stakes at 4:10. Gaeth tops the betting. William Buick over to ride, 4-7 favourite. Japan next in, 4-1. 11-2 magical. Sotsass for Jean-Claude Rouget comes over, 7-1. Colin Key gets the ride on that one. Leo De Fury is 66s alongside Armory. Ruby, we'll start with you. What do you make of the Irish Champions Stakes?
Look, Gaeth has been in incredible form this season, from winning the Coronation Cup in Newmarket, where he beat Stairs and Stradivarius and Anthony Van Dyck. He then went to the Eclipse, where I think he got a bit of a solo in front. He was allowed to completely dictate it, steady the race up around the bottom bend in Sandown, and strode away up the Esher Hill to beat Enable in Japan. He then went to York, where he beat Magical and was allowed to gallop along in front at a much higher tempo, but saw them off really well. I think it'll be interesting. There's no doubt Ballydoyle have to try something. Gaeth is coming into Ireland, into Aidan O'Brien's backyard. They're going to throw it at him. They have to try something different. They have to mix it up, be it that they send Armory with Gaeth and make him, and keep him honest. They're not going to be bumping and banging off him, but they're going to send one with him and keep him honest all the way. Look, we saw in last year's arc that when Gaeth did get racing a stride faster than he wanted to be going, he folded. Magical followed him in last year's arc and she folded as well. So maybe that could set it up for Japan or Sotsass coming from off the pace. But the form Gaeth has been in this year, I wasn't with him before, but I find it so hard to oppose him now.
Ruby, a question for you, because a lot of this season we've spoken about tactics in flat racing and how kind of occasionally the phrase team tactics comes up. Say, for example, if Armory does go on to try and maybe light up Gaeth, do you think Gaeth has enough kind of versatility to drop off the pace? Could he win like that? Could he let Armory go on and just not race with him?
Well, it won't be a surprise to William Buick if the stalls open and Armory shoots forward from the outside draw in six. He will preempt that the same way as we were talking about it, Tom. That's what top jockeys do. He will have run this race over 100 ways as to what way he's going to ride Guyatt. And Guyatt, to be fair to him in the past, has broken slowly. He did break slow in last year's Prix de l'Arc. He broke slow in the Eclipse as well. So if he breaks slow in stall three, and both Magical in Japan and Armory break quick around him, they could very well close the door and have Guyatt boxed in. That could all happen too. And William Buick will have run that scenario through his mind. But all is fair in love and war. And if Guyatt jumps and Armory goes with him, who's to say William Buick won't just sit onto Armory's boot and force Armory to go faster than he's able? That's what tactics are. I mean, no sport the world over is any different. You have to look at ways to try and beat the opposition at times. I rode main in a champion chase to try and beat Altior. It didn't work, but I had to try something different. And Ballydoyle have to try something different here in order to beat Guyatt. They can't just do the same as they've done at Newmarket, at Sandown and York and expect to get a different result.
Frank, Guyatt's 4-7, Japan's second favourite 4-1, but he's kind of struggling to recreate some of his better form this year. Magical 11-2, Satsa 7-1, the two rags at 66s. Is Guyatt the right price at 4-7? If he can get the run of the race, is he just the best horse in it?
I think so. Like, I didn't really echo what Ruby said. Like, we've been trying to take him on this year. Like, he was impressed in the Coronation Cup, but you could argue Anthony Van Dyke might need the run, and you had Stradivarius dropping back in trip. And then we're trying to take him on the Eclipse, Butcher. He's swatted away in Able and Japan. He's beaten Magical the last day. So, like, he holds Japan and Magical in those two runs. Like, even if Arbery does try to take him on, that's assuming Arbery can go that pace early with Guyatt. He might not be able to. I just think he's improved again this year, Guyatt, and I'd be slow enough to oppose him. But if I was looking for a bet in the race, I'd be going to the Without Market, and I'd be very keen on Satsas. I think he's been trained this year with an autumn campaign in mind. Like, if you go back to last year, he beat Pearl King very easily in the Prix de Jockey Club, and he was third in an arc behind Walgeese and Nabel. He's only beaten 3.5 lengths. He travelled well that day. I think he's been trained with this race and the arc in mind. Like, if you go back a few years, Jean-Claude Rouget won this with Almanzor. I was actually there that day and it was an amazing performance. I just wouldn't be surprised if he's, like, ridden a little bit quieter by Colin Keane and he's just there flashing home late. Probably not good enough to beat Guyatt, but I think he might come second and he might be a little bit of value in the Without Market.
Ruby, it just goes to show what a success Irish Champions Weekend has been over the last couple of years. Jean-Claude Rouget, I think, was quoted earlier in the week saying Satsas needs to win or run well in this race for his stallion career. Like, the Irish Champions Stakes and Irish Champions Weekend as a whole is a huge part of the flat racing calendar now, isn't it?
It's massive. But you go back to Galileo Fantastic Light, See the Stars. You could sit here for 10 minutes, Tom, listing out the great horses that have won the Irish Champions Stakes. And I think it'll only enhance Guyatt's reputation and his value at stud. If he can come here and have it served up to him by the Ballydoyle horses and beat them off, good horses have to be able to do it every which way. And, you know, if he gets it served up to him here and he swats him away and beats them, he'll only leave Leopardstown an even better horse than he is coming here.
Well, if that doesn't get your blood pumping, I don't know what will. I'm very much looking forward to the Irish Champions Stakes. We've got a couple of other races to look forward to on Saturday. 4:45, the Clipper Logistics Boomerang Mile. Safe Voyage 9-4, Century Dream over for the Chris Fritz 5-2, second favourite 5-1, and Bigger the Rest. Frank, what did you make of the Clipper Logistics Boomerang Mile?
Yeah, again, I think it's very trappy. Century Dream is very impressive at Goodwood, but he acts really well in testing ground. He can run well on good ground, but he's just really effective when it's testing. And I just wouldn't be certain that he backed that up, potentially. Say Voyage, then, he did see a mile in the Queen Elizabeth Second Stakes at Ascot last year on Champions Day, went third behind King of Change. But again, he likes really testing ground. Royal Darnock, I think, did well to win the Desmond Stakes of Group 3 the last day. Didn't get the clearest of runs, flashed home I think he'll uphold the form with Asian Spirit despite being worse off the weights. Falcon City has a little bit to prove. No, he obviously didn't stay in the derby, but again, he had an irregular heartbeat at Goodwood in the Sussex Mile. I think you can make a case for him potentially, but just at the prices, Dave O'Mara has won this twice in 5 years and he had Custom Cut second as well. He won it with Custom Cut and Suede. Well, Custom Cut then was second the following year after he won it. And this Escobar, look, he's not been at his very best this year, but if you go back to last year, like, he beat Nord Lockhart off 100, off a mark of 105 in the Balmoral Royal Ascot. Very impressive, being 2.25 lengths. Lord North's obviously gone on, won the Cambridgeshire very easily and won a Group 1 this year. He's been struggling a little bit. Bar one run at Goodwood when I think he was very unlucky not to finish a good deal close to Space Blues in the Lennox Stakes at 7 furlongs. I think he should have been second at least that day. The step back up to a mile and suit, and just with the record O'Mara has in the race, I think it's a choppy enough race. I think we're about 16 to 1 at the moment. I definitely have a few quid each way in him. I think he's been underestimated. It's not that strong a race.
I think, Tom, by 4:45 on Saturday, you should be after watching a lot of racing, and what has happened through the day will sway your opinion as to what's going to happen here. If Wichita has bounced back from his last run, he was reported to have an irregular heartbeat. If he's bounced back to winning ways, you can make a case for Vatican City on the same reason. He pulled up or ran in Goodwood and was reported to have an irregular heartbeat. If he's over that, if Wichita gets over it, you can make a case Vatican City is over it, and you're going to look at him. If One Master has gone and won at Doncaster, you're going to be looking at Safe Voyage here. I think this race, a lot of what you're going to fancy in this race is going to be determined by what else has already happened on Saturday. Right here and right now, I'd be for Safe Voyage. I was very impressed with Safe Voyage at York, beating One Master. I'd be with Safe Voyage, but I would also be watching what has happened through the day first.
Very good. Well, of course, the Art is formerly known as the Solanaway Stakes. Big companies coming in, changing names. Clipper Logistics, Boomerang Mile, it is now. And of course, the following race has been absolutely ruined as well. The Paddy Power is a 2021 yet stakes. The Art is formerly known as the Kiltiernan Stakes. Tiger Moths 15-8. Favour, Patrick Sarsfield 100-30. Buckhurst 6s. Silence, please. 10s. Up Helia 11-1. 12-1 and bigger the rest. Frank, this is normally an open enough contest, isn't it?
Yeah, but I don't think it might be that open this year. I just think Tiger Matt's going to be very difficult to beat. Look, he's been off since finishing second in the Irish Derby. He was only beaten narrowly by Santiago. It is a small bit worrying that he's been off nearly 11 weeks, but he gets the weight for age here, and it just really favours 3-year-olds this time of year over like a mile and a half and further. I think they're really advantaged by the weight for age. Look, even when he won his maiden here over 10 furlongs, that was a decent enough race. He had good horses like Dawn Patrol, Monument Valley, Red Kelly, Story Monarch, Yulong, Pearl Island. They were all behind and they've all run races since. And just the way he's getting off Patrick Sarsfield, I think it's going to be very difficult to beat if he runs anywhere near his derby form.
Same as I said for the last race, Tom. If Santiago blows out in the St. Ledger and you really want to go into steam into Tiger Moth in this race, I know it's only a Group 3, but Patrick Sarsfield's flew up through the ranks, up to a mile and a quarter, ran in a Group 1 in Germany's last start, finished third, and they've dropped him back to a Group 3 and gone up in distance, trying to find more improvement. So Santiago blows out, and he doesn't have to win, but if you have Santiago happens to finish fourth or fifth, and you think, oh, maybe that is the value of the Irish Derby form, that makes Tiger Mott vulnerable, and Patrick Sarsfield could be the one.
Right, all lads, we've got a lot to come up on Sunday, so I'm going to ask you now for maybe a Saturday best bet, just to tie us up nicely before we move on to look at Sunday. Frank?
I want to say Galileo Chrome, but there's just one, the 405 Doncaster, I put it up a couple of weeks ago, Dingle, Richard Hannon, got off the mark in nurseries at Kempton, off a mark of 82. I thought he won better than the winning distance suggested. Still a little bit green, has a bit to learn. He's got up £4 to mark at 86. I'm convinced he's 100 horse at least. Hannah has a really good record in the race. He won 2015 and 2018, and he had a close second in 2014, 17 and 19, a no-runner in 2016. So it's a race he really targets. I see that one of the opposition have gone in 8-1 on him, and I think that's absolutely massive. I thought he'd be favourite. He'd be my best bet of the weekend.
Best bet of Saturday for you, Ruby?
I am going for Fancy Blue. I've been with her since she ran in the Irish Guineas when she was eye-catching, and I think she'll win the measure.
Fancy Blue for Ruby Walsh. That's Saturday. Sunday coming up.
You're listening to From the Horse's Mouth by Paddy Power. Paddy Power shops are back open, and with them, the return of a massive racing offer. We're giving best odds guaranteed on singles and multiples. All UK and Irish racing, all shops, all day. Limited time only. Terms and conditions apply. Ask in shops for more details. 18+ BeGambleAware.org.
Righto, deep breath, compose yourselves. We've had a night's sleep. We're moving on to Sunday's racing, and it is absolutely stacked with quality. The first race we're going to look at is the 2:35 at the Curragh. It is the Blandford Stakes. No market yet, Frank. What do you think is going to take shape here?
Yeah, it's waiting for Dex to come through. Yeah, I hadn't much of an opinion on his, to be honest, Tom. I'd wait and see what comes through. One voice run, she's been running well this year. She's obviously just touched off with Fancy Blue in the Nassau at Goodwood. And if Fancy Blue ends up winning at Leopardstown, she'd obviously then have her form franked, and she'd probably be the one to cite it. But yeah, I had no real strong opinion on that race.
Ruby La Mista has been jocked up for Jar Lyons. She's been kind of progressive enough this season. Would you give her any sort of a chance?
I think you have to. She won at the Curragh in her last out when she beat La Velliere. Before that, she beat come September at Goran Park. She's progressing through the ranks, going up to a mile and a quarter. And it's definitely a weekend that Jar Lyons isn't going to leave empty-handed. So yeah, you can most definitely make a case for La Mista.
The Grand Prix de Paris, the much-delayed Grand Prix de Paris, is due to take place in Longchamp at around 2:50. Frank, what did you make of this one? It's an open enough looking race. We've got a couple of question marks over form. Serpentine is here. English King, Ed Walker, still maintaining. He's one of the best horses he's ever had. Mogul shows up as well. What did you make about the Grand Prix de Paris?
I thought it was a very interesting race. You haven't mentioned Port Gilliam, is it? He's quite interesting as well. His only defeat came in the Jockey Club when fifth behind Mishriff. That wasn't maybe the strongest run race ever, and I think the trip was probably short enough for him. He improved for the step up to a mile and a half the last time, winning a group two, I think, at Deauville. Pretty impressively. I believe he's been bought by some Australians with a trip down to Australia in mind, and I think that he's one to definitely put in your tracker. If he runs well, they said he might, if he wins, I think he'll go into the arc, but I think if he runs a credible second staying on or something, you'll see him down running the Caulfield Cup and potentially the Melbourne Cup. He's English King is going here now. He's not going the ledger. We're 9-2 at the moment. English King, I think there's 7-1 out there. That would look big enough to me. I think definitely can forgive him the Derby run, where I thought he shaped like at least the second best horse in the race. I didn't think he got the best ride at Goodwood either. I'd be willing to forgive that. I think return to a flat track, a flatter track, and it will suit him. And yeah, look, we'll find out if Serpentine's Derby form is true. I'm yet to be convinced that it is, and that, yeah, at the prices, I'd probably have a few bob each way on English King. I'd be disappointed if he didn't hit the frame at least.
Ruby, he just can't let go. He just can't move on from English King. He got such a roasting in the Derby. Frank just can't move on and let him off.
I know, Tom, but sure, that happens in life. We need Paddy here now to get into his mindfulness and explain to Frank how he expands his views and moves forward and leaves it all behind him. But Paddy is not here to give us that lecture, so we'll move swiftly on. And I think everybody believes Serpentine was a lucky winner of the Derby and he got away and this, that and the other happened. I think the clock says something a little bit different. I think he was the best horse in the race, and I think I'm going to take it at face value. I might be one of the very few who's going to take it at face value, but I will, and I think he'll win the Grand Prix de Paris.
Back to the Curragh, 3:10 is the Flying Five, and Dennis Hogan is making a challenge to try and win his first Group One with a horse of a very similar name, Ruby. What did you make of this? I know ALE is probably the one to look out for as well. A good few horses over from England here to have a tilt at their own Group One, but what did you make of the Flying Five?
I think it's the first time it's a Group One. I think it's the first open Group One sprint in Ireland. Obviously, we would love as Irish people if Batash was here, but he's not. make a challenge. He's definitely the best sprinter in Ireland now. Skeptical, sadly, isn't around anymore. And I think Dennis Hogan, he's made some lack of training sprinters this year. Joe Doyle rides this horse with incredible confidence, and I will most certainly be shouting for him, and I hope he's having one of his real going days.
Yeah, I think it's a very good race. I really liked it. I thought it was very interesting that Kate Busy's been purchased by the Tabors and Ryan Moore rides. I thought that was a little bit interesting, but Make a Challenge and Ayali, they tie in on their running here in July in the Group 2 Sapphire Stakes. Ayali won that day by a length. Now, there's a bit of a swing. I think there's a £3 swing. Yeah, there's a £3 swing from that run, so bring them even closer together. Just potentially the way the race would be run, I think Ayali's a really good horse. He likes a stiff five, strongly run. I think the Nuntorp, he wasn't disgraced being just over three lengths by Batash, but I think he just got away from that day. I'm just not sure, like a speedy 44 Yorks is ideal thing. He was impressed as well at Sandown when he won Carl Charge, beating Liberty Beach a length. I just think the race was set up nicely for him. And he's a little bit bigger than Make a Challenge as well. I think before the decks, Make a Challenge was 11-4 and Ayali was about 9-2, 5-1. And with the difference in price, I'm going to go with the three-year-old who's improving.
Back to Longchamp. We go for the pre-Vermeil on Sunday. It is about 3:35 on Sunday, the pre-Vermeil. Lots of cash up for grabs. Rabaya is 8-11 favourite at the moment. Even so, 7-1 next in. Second favourite for Ger Lyons. A lovely, lovely spin for Gary Carroll. And 8-1, or 10-1 rather, and bigger the rest. Ruby, any steer here?
Look, you listen to Jean-Claude Rouget, who is an absolute master of his profession. He is talking Rabaya up as a possible A contender with Love to take on an Able. I mean, if that's the case, Rabaya is going to be impossible to beat here, because what price would Love or an Able be in this contest? Even so, it was good in the Irish Oaks, but I'd be a believer in what Jean-Claude Rouget says, and I'd be sticking with Rabaya here.
Frank, is it just as simple as the favourite wins the Vermeil?
I think so, yeah. Like, I think his actual quote was that he described her as a real champion, which is strong enough. She's only had 3 wins from 4 starts. I think she was a little bit unlucky in the Deanne. They didn't win that hard that day, as Ruby said earlier. It was tactical enough. Like, she was the one who lost out because of that. I think it was strongly run. She might well have won. Like, if you look at her breeding, if you go back far enough, there's Oaks winners in her breeding as well. She's definitely going to improve, step up to 1.5. Not only do I think she'll win on Sunday, I think she might actually win the Arc as well.
Ooh, interesting from Frank Hickey. Back to the curry again. 3:40 is the Group 1 Moyglare Stakes. No market here at the moment, but we've got some interesting runners. Shale for Donegal O'Brien. Teresa Mendoza back for Ken Condon. Billy Lee takes the ride. And Udonata for Jessie Harrington. She tipped Udonata up as one to watch for the season earlier in the year on the From the Horse's Mouth podcast. Shane Foley rides. Frank, any steer on the Moyglare at the moment?
And look, Pretty Gorgeous was, I thought, immense in the debutante stakes when she beat Shale 2.5 lengths. She were first form from Leopardstown. I think the bit of softer ground definitely helped her at the Curra. Like, she looks really good. I just take a chance on one. I think I've said it already before, Ken Condon has a useful bunch of two-year-olds this year. And like, Teresa Mendoza ran well when second behind New Treasure in the Round Tower Stakes there last month. But I was really taken with Thunder Beauty when she won on debut at the Curra. She was nibbling the market that day, so I think they knew she was and that was probably not a bad race. The time compared relatively well with the maiden Killavan won on the card. Killavan's rated 90, but second in that maiden was St. Mark's Basilica, went off favourite for the Group 1 Phoenix Stakes, and then won when he was fifth, beating about 3.5 lengths, I think, and then he won his maiden next time. The time compared well with that. The form was alright as well. The fourth Allegar was in the Group 3 Famous Tower Stakes, and the fifth Sloan Pearson won a maiden the next start. The 11 that day, Sweet Gardenia won a sales race at Nace and wasn't disgraced at fourth in the round time itself. And she won well, and she was very strong at the Lions, just in step up to 7 furlongs and really suit. Small bit concerning that Billy Lee jumps off with Teresa Mendoza, but Colin Keane's on her, he's as good as you get. And I just really liked the way she won her debut, and yeah, I'd give her a chance.
Lovely stuff. Onwards, 4:10 at the Curra is the National Stakes. And it's on paper looks like one of the strongest two-year-old races we'll have seen in Europe so far this year. Ruby, a lot of big names. We spoke earlier in the week about Ballydoyle's two-year-olds being maybe a little bit lackluster, but Battleground is surely the standout. Laws of Indices here for Ken Condon as well. Lucky Vega, good winner last time. And Max Swinney looking to be an interesting two-year-old for Jim Bulger. Not to mention Master of the Seas, one of the best two-year-olds in the UK. So it's all happening here in the National Stakes.
Oh, it is. I think it's Jessica Harrington versus Aidan O'Brien versus Charlie Appleby, myself. I think it's Lucky Vega, Battleground, Master of the Seas. Master of the Seas is coming to pin a two-ball route. He won this race last year for Charlie Appleby and William Buick when he absolutely ran away from the opposition. But I am a Battleground fan. I love the way he grounded out at Ascot. I think he's as tough as boots. I think Aidan O'Brien can't have one that's not a Group 1 horse. And I think this fella could be. He won in Goodwood as well. He gets 7 furlongs well. There's just no end to possibly how far he can go. I know he was behind Lucky Vega on debut and Ace, but I think Battleground has done nothing but improve since. And I'm going with Aidan here. It's the last of the group. Well, there's only one Group 1 left after this on the weekend. I'm not so sure Aidan will be on the winner's board yet, but I think Battleground could get him on it.
Frank?
Charlie Appleby's on a hat-trick in the race. He won with Quarto 2 years ago as well. He's gone the exact same route as Master of the Seas, going the two of them, winner made at Newmarket, then following up in the Superlative Stakes. Now, we have a kind of a line between Master of the Seas and Battleground through the second Devious Company. Master of the Seas beats Devious Company 3 lengths at Newmarket, Battleground beating 2 lengths in Goodwood and the Prestige Stakes. They're relatively tightly matched. I'm just a massive fan of Lucky Vega. I thought he was brilliant in the Phoenix Stakes. I think you can put down the half-length defeat to Laws of Innocence probably being a little bit short for that run. He'd been off since winning his debut at Nace in the race. It's worked out really well. I think he probably wasn't as fit as maybe they thought he was going to be or should have been. But you couldn't but be impressed the way he travelled through the race last day and the way he quickened up and went away from him. I was really impressed with him. It's a belt of a race. I think he's the one to be on. I just give a quick mention to Thunder Moon for Joseph O'Brien, who was a wide margin winner of a maiden here last month. Very impressive. He's just one to keep an eye on. He's probably a double figure price. Wouldn't be surprised to see a few quid knock about for him, but I think Lucky Vega is the one to be on.
Lucky Vega for Frank Hickey in the National Stakes. We come to the last race we're going to look at Irish Champions Weekend. This is the Comer Group International Irish Ledger. No market yet, but a couple of interesting runners. Last year's winner of the race, Search for a Song, is here. Aidan O'Brien is doubly represented with Sovereign of Passion. Joseph O'Brien has Twilight Payment in there. Willie Mullins has a runner, Micromanage. And Roger Varian sends over the Ebor winner, Fujera Prince. Ruby, given you interjected, you clearly have a strong opinion on the race. What's Willie's chance, first and foremost?
I got so excited that there was a dead eight runners, Tom, and there was each way betting. I forgot to really look at what was running. I was just looking for the number to see what was there. I think Micromanage has improved for his comeback run at the Curragh in the Ledger trial, where he ran really well to finish third, travelled extremely well through the race and did get tired. We think he's improved a bit fitness-wise for that run. That was behind Delphi. We think he'll get the trip. That was a 1.6 that day. He's in really good form. He's double figure price. I think he's a great each-way bet.
Frank, do you think Search for a Song is the most likely winner of the race? She's kind of struggled to put a bit of form together this year, or would you see Fujera Prince as a possible kind of improver to this level?
Yeah, look, Fujera Prince, very impressive at Ascot, winning over 1.6 miles. And then I thought he did it well in the Ebor. Search for a Song, she would be the one to beat, but she's been pretty terrible this year. Now, albeit over short, trip short, but maybe this has been the aim all year. Like, if she bounces back, yeah, she's a massive chance. But from a betting point of view, it wasn't a race I liked, and I doubt I'd be getting involved in the race, to be honest.
Fair enough. The last race we're going to mention, because we've been through nearly everything at this stage, is the Pre-Foy, mostly because Ruby Stradivarius goes over to prepare for his run in the Arc.
He does, Tom, and I suppose somewhere along the way you can't knock people for trying something different. And Stradivarius has proved to be the outstanding stare of his generation. I would be probably a little bit safer of mind and would have gone to Doncaster for the Doncaster Cup and on to Newmarket on Champions Day or Ascot on Champions Day for the Long Distance Cup. But they're going to try the arc for him. I think he got exposed behind Gaeth at a mile and a half in the Coronation Cup. I know he was a Ledger winner as a three-year-old, but I think it's a brave shout at his age to be coming back in trip. Most horses are like humans and actually get a little slower as they get older, not quicker. But John Gosden is a master of his trade and he thinks it's worth a shout. Look, he'd probably win in France on Sunday, or looks like he'll win in France on Sunday, but he wouldn't be my idea of the winner of the Arc.
Frank, I suppose maybe Sunday, it looks like a straightforward-ish assignment for him, but do you think Stradivarius could feature in an Arc?
See him finish in third or fourth potentially if it was, you know, turned into a bit of a slog. I don't think it's a straightforward task for him to win on Sunday either. Like, if you go back to the Coronation Cup at Newmarket at the start of this season, he was actually behind Nancy Van Dyke there. Now he probably wasn't 100% fit or whatever, but yeah, I just wouldn't take it that he's not a good thing to win at all on Sunday. And you way to Paris, who's a 7-year-old in the form, in the best form as well. Group 2 and a Group 1 this year and was only beaten ahead by Sats in the Gane. The horse has been campaigned over staying trips the last few years. The drop back seems to have brought about a bit of improvement as well. But yeah, like if I was forced to have a bet, I'd probably take Andrew Van Dyke at the prices. Yeah, I don't think it's straightforward for Stradivarius at all.
Righto, deep breath. We've been through all the races we wanted to cover, but now is your chance to mention anything else if you want. We're going to ask you for your best bet of Sunday and then your best bet for the weekend. Ruby Walsh, we will start with you.
Oh, there's so many horses I would love to see winning, like Micromanage or Make a Challenge. But for a best bet, I think Battleground will see them all off in the National Stakes.
National Stakes, very good. And your best bet for the entire weekend, would that be Battleground as well?
No, Fancy Blue. I tipped her on Saturday as well. I just think she is a top-class filly.
Top-class, so says Ruby Walsh. Frank Kickey, same question. Best bet for Sunday and then best bet for the weekend?
My best bet on Sunday is the 3:10 Al Ali in the Flying Five Stakes. And my best bet for the weekend is the nursery in Doncaster Saturday for Richard Hannon.
You're listening to From the Horse's Mouth by Paddy Power. Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Righto, gents, that was a whirlwind. We let you go and enjoy your weekend. But before you finish off, just a few quick questions from social media, if I can find them very quickly. And here they are. The first question is from Joel Ruby. We've kind of discussed it already, but he says, what are the best tactics for Aidan O'Brien to try and use with Japan and Magical to try and beat Gaeth?
They just have to keep him honest, Tom, or try and keep him honest. Keep the tempo up. Try and now not allow William Buick to slow it down and dictate the race in the front. Now, whether they have the horses good enough to do that or not, only time will tell, because Gaeth is some weapon. But that is the only way I can see for them to try and upstage Gaeth.
And the final question is from Niall Farrell. Frank, we'll start with you, but we'll get an answer from Ruby as well. Has the Irish Ledger lost its prestige in recent years, not restricted to three-year-olds, and lost in the Irish Champions weekend schedule?
I think it has. Yeah, look, as I said, I didn't like the renewal this weekend. Yeah, it's Group 1 in name only this weekend, looking at the fields. Like, look at it, Fajara Prince's, you know, vying for favouritism off the back of win. Like, look, the Ebor is very strong, but it's still only a handicap. Like, and yeah, I don't know. It's not as good a race it used to be anyway, I think.
Ruby, does the Irish Ledger need a kick in the arse?
I'm not sure. I think if you make a 3-year-old only with the English and Ledger on Saturday, what are you doing there? Only dividing the cake. I think it has to include the older horses. How it gets revived, I'm not sure how it gets revived, Tom, or what you do with it. But look, it's there. It is what it is. And I think before we go, it's only honourable to give Patrick Power a mention, and his best bet of the weekend would, of course, be Glass Slippers in the Flying Five.
Glass Slippers for Paddy Power. Very nice. Gents, I'll leave you to it. Any plans for the weekend, Frank?
Jill's actually heading away tonight, so I'm babysitting tonight and tomorrow.
Oh my God, Frank, you didn't just say that, did you?
Yeah.
You don't babysit your own children, you parent.
Parent them. And we're having a good crack at the moment. Oliver puked on me during the week and literally broke his ass laughing when he saw all the puke down my arm.
Yep.
Ruby, any plans, or are you working?
I'm working, Tom. I don't have the luxury that you have of, you know, 9 to 5, Monday to Friday, knocking off. I will be working.
I wish I had that luxury, lads. We'll leave you go. Thanks a million. Have a good weekend.
Cheers.
I'll go on. Take care.
Right, oh, that's all we've got time for this week. My thanks to Frank and Ruby, and of course you for listening. That was a whirlwind, whistle stop, tipping tour of all the best races of the weekend. Make sure to head over to paddypower.com for all the latest odds and offers. But for now, I've been Tom Nugent, and that was From the Horse's Mouth. Have a good weekend.
From the Horse's Mouth is a Muddy Knees Media production for Paddy Power.
Last year's winner of the race, Search for a Song, is here, Aidan O'Brien.
I don't think she runs, Tom.
She's jocked up here where I'm looking anyway, sorry.
I think we've the dead eight, Twilight Payment, Fujiara Prince, she does run Search for a Song.
Good man, Ruby. We'll leave that in the edit.